Who's your daddy? Subscribe to Movie Battle. It's not radio, it's a podcast.
Hello, welcome to Movie Battle. Each episode, superfans battle it out to decide which movie is best. Here's your host, Kevin Armstrong.
What is up, party people? Welcome to Movie Battle. I'm your host, Kevin Armstrong. This is episode 9, Kindergarten Cop versus Major Payne. This is a classic battle between two fish-out-of-water action comedy family-friendly films. We're going to have a lot of fun on this and bring the superfans out in just a few moments. But first, here's some facts and tidbits. Kindergarten Cop was directed by Ivan Reitman, the story by Murray Salem. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, Penelope Ann Miller, Pamela Reed, Linda Hunt, Richard Tyson, and Carol Baker. Kindergarten Cop was released December 21st, 1990. With a budget of $26 million, it grossed a box office of $202 million. Major Payne was directed by Nick Castle. It's written by Dennis Lorre, Gary Rosen, and Damon Wayans. It stars Damon Wayans, Karen Parsons, Michael Ironside, William Hickey, Bam Bam Bigelow, Chris Owen, better known as the Shermanator from the American Pie films, and Steven Martini. Major Payne was released March 24th, 1995, and had a box office of $30.1 million. Now, as far as the critics, Kindergarten Cop on Rotten Tomatoes has an aggregate score of 51%, Major Payne, 33%. Kindergarten Cop got 3 stars from Roger Ebert, who said, "The film is made up of two parts that shouldn't fit, but somehow they do, making a slick entertainment out of the improbable, the impossible, and Arnold Schwarzenegger." Major Payne, Roger Ebert gave it 3 stars, saying, "Smart and funny satire of military films." Interesting fact for Kindergarten Cop, Bill Murray was actually approached to play the role of Kimball. I believe that would be a completely different movie. It would probably be good, and that would have been in the whole, I think after Ghostbusters 2 and Scrooged and right before What About Bob and Groundhog Day, so a strong run for Murray. Again, I think it would have been good, but no. Kindergarten Cop is Arnold. They played an April Fool's joke back in 2012 for Kindergarten Cop. It was announced that it would be released on DVD Blu-ray as part of the Criterion Collection. The Criterion Collection is dedicated to the release of important classic and contemporary films. There's always lots of commentaries and just kind of essay stuff, and it's usually reserved for what they would call prestige films. It's saying it was selected as important because of its genre revisionist use of both police and family comedy genres in the same film. This was a joke, and it would be released later on, normal DVD and Blu-ray. One of my favorite films, maybe not the most prestigious film of all time, but every movie doesn't have to be that. Movies can be fun, and you can like whatever you like. That's our stance here at Movie Battle. So there you have it. Kindergarten Cop, Major Payne. We'll be right back with our first super fan. Stick around.
Excuse me while I interrupt your movie battle for just 1 second. I've got a question for you. Do you like true crime? Blood, guts, gore, murder? Maybe you like nostalgia, you know, watching those old movies, or you see that guy and you're like, hey, I know that guy, he's that guy from... Well, if you do, once you finish Movie Battle, head on over to A-Side B-Side Podcast with Brooke and Adam. We'd love to have you.
Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next guest is making his second appearance here on Movie Battle. Justin Guthrie, who hails from Raleigh, North Carolina, graduate of East Carolina University. He works for the Morrisville, North Carolina Police Department and lives in Raleigh, North Carolina. Justin, welcome back to Movie Battle.
Thanks, Kevin. Kind of excited to be back, man. I had such a blast last time.
Yes. One of the better episodes we've had. We're glad to have you back here, and couldn't think of a better person to represent Kindergarten Cop. I had a feeling you were that guy. One thing I know in life, Justin Guthrie is natural police.
I appreciate it, buddy.
You have to excuse me. I'm in the middle of a Wire rewatch.
Oh, yeah. No worries.
All right. Well, Justin, last time we were here, you said Zach Galifianakis plays you in the movie about your life. Are you sticking with that?
You know, I don't know if I said this the last time, but, you know, I usually grow my hair out for St. Baldrick's every year. And so recently when I started working for the Morrisville Police Department, they allowed me to grow my beard out too.
Nice.
And so when I grew my beard out, I essentially looked homeless, but they were doing a montage of side-by-side pictures of who I look like. And it was Tom Hanks from Castaway, the caddy from Happy Gilmore,
yes.
Yeah. Zach Galifianakis was another one. I mean, some of you put a side by side of me and the Unabomber Ted Kaczynski.
Oh my god!
So, yeah, it was crazy, man. But it was all in fun and all that stuff. So, but I think yeah, just with my overall demeanor, after all my friends listened to the podcast and I said Zach Galifianakis, they were like, totally. That's perfect. Hey. So.
That's beautiful, man. That sounds like quite the montage.
Yeah.
All right. So, what is your movie snack? Your go-to movie snack again?
I think I ended up saying Twizzlers, but I feel like
right.
I feel like, you know, we haven't been to the movies in, it feels like 5 years.
It has been a while.
So I'm sitting here thinking like maybe I'm gonna have to switch my game up whenever we do go back into the theaters.
Yeah, I think we all are. I think the whole experience is going to be just different.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we were already at the point where they had, you know, a lot of the theaters had assigned seating, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
When they switched to that, and
the only thing I didn't like about that though is it killed like the spontaneous movie date night kind of thing. Like you couldn't just go to a theater and wait in line for tickets because everybody and their brother bought them the night before. So
that's true. That's a good point.
But yeah, I mean, it's still convenient. I like the reclining seats better. It's a little bit more comfortable and you don't feel like you're on top of the person next to you and all that stuff, but it's got its pros and cons.
Only thing with those reclining seats, I'm notorious for falling asleep during movies. It doesn't matter what movie it is. It's if, you know, I get comfortable and
oh yeah,
it's just gonna happen.
Oh yeah,
it's a lifetime of it.
I would be lying if I said I hadn't fallen asleep in a couple of those before.
So it happens, and yeah. Once they switch to the recliners, I'm like, oh man, this is great. I'm loving this. This is the life.
It just makes me wonder what's next. Like, you know, back in the day, we didn't even fathom leather reclining seats.
Right.
So it makes me wonder, what are they going to do next?
That's a good point. Yeah, I'm so used to seeing, you know, the old Six Forks Theater behind the old Kmart. That's, you know, where I saw a huge chunk of movies in our day.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, Justin, the reason we're here is you are a Kindergarten Cop super fan. What is it you love so much about the film?
I don't even know where to begin on this. I mean, you got cute little kids and you got Arnold kind of breaking out of his shell. You know, he was, you know, doing Conan the Barbarian was kind of one of his big breakouts. And then the Terminator and a lot of those action films, Commando and
Mando, Predator.
Yeah, yeah. So he did Twins like I think 2 years or a year before Kindergarten Cop. So that was kind of like his first step into the comedy realm. And I mean, and it worked. I mean, he's, you know, he was funny, and I think he just upped his game when it came down to Kindergarten Cop, because not only was it like a comedy movie, but it was you know, a fish out of water type comedy movie. Like,
right,
the very beginning of it, you know, he's this, you know, hard, you know what, cop, you know, he's kicking in doors, and it always trips me out when he blows that couch away with that shotgun and it flies across the room. But, you know, right, you've got this hard guy, and then all of a sudden now he's thrown into, you know, this classroom for an undercover gig, and it's like the hardest thing he's ever had to do. It's just that in and of itself is hilarious.
We have a situation here where my son is in kindergarten and he's doing virtual school. My wife is a teacher teaching virtual school. So when she's teaching classes and our son has a class or needs help with stuff and I'm working from home, I'm going over there and dealing with the stuff and setting things up and helping this class. And it's not always pretty.
I mean, it's one of those things, you know, you do what you got to do to get by and you just pray that it's all going to work out.
It's like Michael Jordan is in the office that can handle everything, and they're putting literally me, like not another average NBA player, they're putting me in instead of up against Michael Jordan. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I'm no Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah. I don't know, Kevin. You're still pretty good.
Well, I appreciate that. How old were you the first time you saw Kindergarten Cop?
Oh man, I don't know. I mean, I think I saw it not long after it came out. You know, and of course, some of the stuff that happened in the movie was kind of lost on me, and you know, being as young as we were. But I mean, I remember, I think I remember watching it with my dad, because I really liked, like, my dad loved Conan. And so I had seen those movies with him. And then, you know, I had snuck some peeks at, you know, the Terminator and the R-rated movies. And I was familiar with who Arnold Schwarzenegger was. So that was a little bit, you know, easier to kind of persuade my dad to let me watch some of his movies. But I think I remember. I don't think we watched it in the theater though. I think we rented it at Blockbuster. But I mean, it was not long after it got released.
Nice. It's funny. I think that might be the first Blockbuster reference on a movie. Sure, it won't be. Black.
I can't believe that this is the first reference to Blockbuster.
Well, you know, people say, "Oh, we would rent it," or you know, we'd rent it. You know, we had some good, like, mom-and-pop video places back in the day.
Yeah.
But actual, like, you know, made a Blockbuster night, I think this is history.
I can't remember who. I was talking to somebody about it the other day about, you know, that's one of the things I miss, you know, because we don't have movie stores anymore. Everything's all digital and online and streaming. But I miss that thrill of that Friday night trip to Blockbuster, and you go in there and you're trying to find one of the new releases that's out. And I don't know what it was, but that, I don't know what the thrill of that though. I missed that. That was always fun.
Oh, it was a big deal. And it was, you know, there was a time when there was, you know, they had two or three copies of something. And then, you know, by like the, I don't know, mid or late 90s, they just, a movie came out and they would guarantee they had it in, and they just had like a wall of Bring It On or whatever.
Yeah.
It
was
the big movie. It's just crazy how, you know, these places are just such a huge, you know, institution and part of everybody's life, and then they're just gone.
Oh yeah.
Like the game changes and it's done.
Yeah. I mean, and think about it this way too. This is also part of the conversation I was having. And, you know, you go to Blockbuster and you could pretty much find any movie from any distributor, from any genre. And now if you want to find a particular movie, like I actually had to find Kindergarten Cop. I actually had to rent it from Amazon because I just couldn't go to any of the streaming sites and get it. And it's like now sometimes it's harder to get movies, especially older ones, because they're just not streaming anywhere.
I'm pretty good at finding where a movie is and then getting like a free, if it's on like Stars or whatever service is getting like a free week trial or something. So that works out well. But yes, I too have to, you know, rent from Amazon or what's the other one? Vudu.
Yeah, Vudu is another one. Yeah.
I remember once we went from like, you know, the stores like Blockbuster and then it was the Netflix, you know, mail and stuff. And I think Blockbuster did try to do that too, but Netflix was just kind of, you know, way ahead of them in that regard. And then once they got the Redboxes out there, it was like, well, what do we do? And it was kind of before streaming was the norm. It's kind of like, what do people do when they want to watch an old movie?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you want to go rent Gremlins 2 or Leprechaun or something, just out of, you just think of something, you know, random. And like, how do you do that? You should be, just go to Blockbuster.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah, that had,
I want to watch an old Sam Kinison stand-up special, or, you know, just, I'm trying to think of the most random thing I can.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of going first full circle back to Kindergarten Cop, the part in the movie where his partner is finally feeling better and he comes back and he finds there's a guy in the bed with her and it ends up being her fiance. That guy's a comedian named Bob Nelson, and he did one of the funniest stand-ups on HBO that I've ever seen in my life, and you can't find it anywhere. Like, it's just, there's nowhere to stream it. It doesn't even come up on searches. It's crazy how like little stuff like that that you remember from back in the day that you might want to go back and, because that's literally what I said. I was like, oh, holy crap, that's right, this guy is in the movie. I forgot about him. Man, I want to go back and watch his special. Nope, sorry, you can't.
Well, somebody needs to get on that.
Oh, yeah.
Justin, did you learn anything from Kindergarten Cop?
Yeah, the first thing that comes to my mind when you ask me that question is I learned finally that boys have a penis and girls have a vagina. That was made abundantly clear several times in the movie. No, I don't think I really learned anything in particular. I guess I kind of referenced it earlier. I learned that, you know, Arnold can hold his own in a comedy movie. In Twins, he was kind of paired up with Danny DeVito, so he wasn't doing it on his own. But this one, he was pretty much, you know, doing it all on his own. So that was actually pretty good. It showed his acting range.
Absolutely. Yeah, he definitely has the chops. He
oh, yeah.
Funny.
I did learn, too, that he did not have a tumor. So we knew that. We knew he was okay with that.
Very true. Okay, well, was there anything you didn't understand about Kindergarten Cop, or anything that you would change about it?
No, I pretty much understood everything that was going on. I didn't even think about that when I was watching it again, if there was anything that I would change. I think they could have done a better job making the bad guy, I guess, more menacing. I mean, with the ponytail and the constant, like when he went and busted him at the hair salon or whatever, when he was getting a manicure or whatever, he was just like, you know, Kimball, you're bothering me. And it's kind of like, dude, you're this hardened criminal that's like killed people. You just shot a dude in the back warehouse part of the mall, and now you're complaining because he's messing up your pedicure. And it's just kind of like, they could have done a way better job making the bad guy like a bad guy.
I agree. Justin, you get one quote from Kindergarten Cop. What is your favorite?
Oh, my God.
There's a lot of
There's so many of them. And I'm actually going to have to give this one not to Arnold. I'm going to have to give this one to the little girl named Emma. And the part where he starts off his little, this is the deputy school and I am your sheriff and you are my deputies. And he says, when I blow the whistle, go get a toy and bring it back to the carpet and all this stuff. And it makes me crack up every single time I hear it. In fact, I even made a ringtone out of it. But it's the part where he walks up to her and he's like, Emma, take your toy back to the carpet. I'm not a policeman. I'm a princess. I don't know why, but when the way she says it and everything else, that just, it cracks me up every single time. I think I'm going to have to go with that one.
That's a good one. That's a very good one. All right. Well, Justin, this was good. I appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you in just a few. Best of luck in the movie battle. Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next guest is Donnie Hale. Donnie is from the country. He grew up on what was a tobacco farm just outside of Raleigh, North Carolina. Donnie went to NC State and USC. He currently resides in Zebulon, North Carolina with his wife Maria and daughters Lily and Ellie. Donnie is currently a professor at NC State and does analytic and strategic consulting. Donnie likes golf and loves NC State basketball. Donnie, welcome to Movie Battle.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here. And I do love NC State basketball, so I love the way you said that. That's good.
Absolutely. Some might say I love NC State basketball as well. It's funny. I saw Avi Lester the other night.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, how random is that?
That is pretty random.
Yeah. Donnie, how would your parents describe what you do for a living?
So I think what I do now is pretty straightforward. I teach and I do some research. But I actually just made a switch over the past, 5 to 10 years in academics. Before that, I actually worked in industry and did a lot of mathematical modeling and built predictive models in the services space and did some things there. And so I think there they had no idea really what I did. But now it's pretty straightforward. They just say I teach. So
that was nice. For you. You're a good son.
Yeah, that's exactly why I did it. Just so I make sure they could. And my wife, too. She had no idea what I did, so now she can just say he teaches. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. Excellent. Okay. Donnie, who plays you in a movie about your life?
Yeah, that's a hard question. I'm going to say, not because I think they look like me or anything else, just because I like their style of movies. I'm going to say John Cusack or... probably John Cusack, actually.
Nice. That was one of my all-time favorites. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's gotten a little bit over the edge more recently, but yeah, just in the movies he's been in, I just kind of enjoy his characters for the most part.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I love, first thing I think of is being John Malkovich for some reason. not even, obviously the 80s movies and, some of the, Serendipity and stuff like that. That's real good. But yeah.
Yeah, Say Anything. That's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Donnie, what is your go-to movie snack?
I actually honestly don't really snack during movies, but occasionally I guess I have popcorn. So I have more traditional, I guess, a little bit of butter on it.
Old school, I love it.
Yeah, but even that I don't usually have, so.
Nice. Donnie, you are a Major Payne super fan.
Love the movie.
What is it you love so much about the film?
Well, I have kind of a juvenile sense of humor. I like just kind of dumb dad joke kind of things, and I think there's a ton of them in the movie. But the thing I think people don't appreciate about the movie is there's also a lot of, very applicable themes that deal with some of the truths in life and some of the things that are, sometimes overlooked as we walk through the course of life, but are picked up, I think, very well in the context of that comedy. So I just love the context of it, some of the themes in it, and just the fact that I love the simple humor in it. So
I like where you're going with that. What would be a good example of a theme that you're speaking of?
So I think if you think about the way that Major Payne has to get these kids who are kind of off doing their own thing, has to bring them together, has to show them they're capable of more than they think they're capable of themselves. I just think that whole process of showing a bunch of people that together they can do much more than they can independently, and then also just the idea that if you go through that process, and if people have an enemy, if they have something to actually coalesce around, a lot of times that'll bring the people together and give them the ability to sort of focus and drive towards particular outcomes. So I think that's just one. I think there's all kinds of them in there, but I think that is one of the major themes, and major themes of Major Payne. So,
yeah, that was my next question was going to be what is the main message of Major Payne?
Yeah, and I think it's, I mean, I think, you know, for me, it's hard to pick out just one of them as the main message. I certainly think that's a big part of it. But I think there are things in there as well about, like, you know, what does it mean to be, like, a man? What does it mean to be a sort of macho on one hand, but also sensitive and caring? And, you know, can those two things coexist? I think there are themes in there about, you know, what you focus on. One of my favorite parts of the movie is you might feel a little pressure when he does the little thing where he breaks the guy's finger. It's a subtle little thing, but it's one of the big points is whatever you focus on is what you're going to feel and what you're going to experience. And so if you break your finger, you don't feel about your, you know, leg or whatever else is happening. So
that's a strong point, honey. Yeah, I am in full agreement. Was there anything you didn't understand about Major Payne or anything you would have changed?
So I think some of the language is a little bit gratuitous. I just don't know why it has to be in there. Especially, I'd love for Bill and my kids just to watch it and kind of enjoy it without some of that. So I would definitely change that. I also don't know how he got back to the final competition. It's a subtle little thing, but all of a sudden he just shows up out of nowhere. And so I'd like to know how he got from point A to point B since he was already on the military vehicle headed out and had been gone for a while. So
I never noticed that. I don't think I'll be able to watch it the same again. That's a pretty juicy plot hole you've uncovered.
And it maybe it says somewhere, there's some subtle cue, but I don't remember it. So,
Donnie, you get one quote, and this is a movie with a lot of quotes. What is your favorite quote in Major Payne?
It's so hard to narrow it down to just a single quote. For whatever reason, this is not one of the deep, meaningful ones. But when she asks him, you know, if he knows how to dance, and he basically says, "I've been known to cut a little rug." It's one of my favorite quotes.
Very nice. That's a pretty good Damon Wayans there, Donnie.
Yeah, I do impersonations on the side.
Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, might need to have like a church talent show or something.
Yeah, sounds good.
Excellent. Very good. Well, Donnie, appreciate it. This has been great. We'll talk to you in just a few moments. And best of luck in the movie battle.
All right. Sounds great.
All right, party people. It's the moment you've been waiting for. It's the movie battle. Up first, representing Kindergarten Cop, my man, Justin Guthrie. Justin, talk to me.
I mean, you know, it's got cute little kids in it. Arnold's second little foray into comedy, and he pulls it off, you know, without a hitch. I mean, so many one-liners from that movie that people still reference today. Like, it's not a tumor, and who is your dad, and what does he do? And I'm not going to repeat the one that the little kid says about what his dad does for a living. But, I mean, just instant classic. I mean, like I said before, you can just keep repeating those lines over and over again. In fact, I said the same thing to somebody the other day when they were looking at me, and they're like, "Are you feeling okay?" And I was like, "I've got a headache." And they was like, "Are you sure it's not a headache?" And I was like, "It's not a tumor," you know, and you even have to say it with that slight, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, vibe to it. You got to try to imitate it. So, but
there may be an Arnold impression somewhere in this podcast. I can't, I can neither confirm nor deny.
Look forward to that one.
So, very good. Donnie, Major Payne?
Yeah, so I can appreciate someone who appreciates Kindergarten Cop, but when it comes to putting these two movies side by side, I just think there's absolutely no comparison in terms of both the quality of the movie and the impact the movie can have on one's life. You know, so if you think about Major Payne, like, not only does it have the one-liners, there's all the stuff about, you know, I can dig a little deeper in my repertoire, and you might feel a little bit of pressure, and sort of all those one-liners you're watching it and all that kind of good stuff. But it just has so many amazing themes and so many amazing truths in life. And so you can watch it and you can laugh and you can cry and you can learn and you can discover yourself. And I think it's just, it's one of those complete movies that obviously didn't get its just dues when it came to award season in that year, 1995.
Yeah. Donnie is known to hold grudges against the Academy.
I do.
Good point, though. He does make a good point. I appreciate Major Payne. It was a good movie. I agree with you. It kind of had me going through the emotions, and there were different parts where you were feeling different ways. But when you look at Damon Wayans, that's his wheelhouse. He was always comedy, always playing a role, a part. Whereas Arnold, this is a complete step out from his norm. And for him to step out from the Terminator, Conan, commando type roles that he played into now playing this sensitive, guy that's got to carry around a little, a bunch of little kindergartners and stuff like that. I mean, that's, in my opinion, that's where it kind of sets itself apart. I'm not saying that Damon Wayans didn't do an excellent job in that movie. I can't remember the last time I heard somebody reference Major Payne, but it happens all the time for Kindergarten Cop. I mean, it had some life lessons too, the stranger danger kind of thing, and don't, let's not forget about fire drill safety and all that stuff. So, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the problem is, and this is why I get so upset with the Academy. I think the bias it has towards sort of lowbrow common sense movies sort of diminishes the amount of box office that you can get from some of these things. So I don't think so many people have seen Major Payne, and I think that's the problem. And actually, one of the reasons I want to do this podcast so I could raise its visibility amongst the folks who listen to the podcast.
Increase awareness. But
increase the awareness, Because I think if people saw it, it would completely change the way that people quote the quote those movies. And so again, I have nothing against Kindergarten Cop. I really don't. But like, if you just look at the toll package, I mean, the acting, the dude who plays the bad guy, I don't know what he was doing, but I don't know if you've gone back and watched it recently. It was horrible. Like that guy as an actor, and that guy is, trying to show emotion and just sort of it was just really bad. And I give Arnold a little bit of credit. It goes from the action, although there's still some action hero stuff in there.
True.
It's sort of still shooting up stuff and protecting people and, all those kind of good things. So I give him some credit for that. But I still think that Damon and, that whole crew, if you just pull it together, the little kids, how hard it is to get a group of kids like that together and act and let sort of make it hang together in any way that doesn't feel totally contrived. Now, the thing I will give you is the guy that played the biker in Major Payne. Don't know what that dude was doing. The one that comes in and tries to beat him up.
Oh yeah.
And
you're talking about Bam. That was Bam Bam Bigelow, WWF wrestler.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but the acting skill, the acting level was not in line. That may be the reason the Academy didn't look on it so favorably. I don't know. But the rest of the movie, like, it just pulls it together. It's kids, you got them all working together. And I know in Kindergarten Cop they had the same thing, but they're just kind of running around. Much more central, a bigger group of kids here. Damon Wayans is just hilarious. He's not playing himself. He's playing the character. The ladies, she's funny as well. And so, yeah, I don't know. I just think it, one of my, I'm a huge NC State basketball fan and therefore a huge Valvano fan. And, his old quote about, if you laugh, if you think, you cry, that's a full day. I can have a full day in that 2 hours of watching Major Payne, right? I can laugh, I can think, and I can cry. And that just makes my day to watch the movie. So
that's beautiful, Donnie. One more random casting from Major Payne that I noticed. I watched it last week. The older gentleman, the headmaster of the school, is from Christmas Vacation. He's Uncle Lewis in Christmas Vacation that burns the tree down. So what's it to you?
Oh my God! Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Yeah.
I was very tickled by that. That's Christmas Vacation. That's that's probably one of my top five overall movies, not just Christmas movies.
And I will have to say this about his role in Major Payne. I think one of the few times, I mean, I, not few times, I laughed a lot during that movie, but one of the few times that I laughed so hard that I had to pause it was the part where that that old man is out there in the field trying to catch butterflies with that net. I lost it. I lost it. Completely lost it.
Yeah, but you talk about a guy that gets typecast. I mean, that guy plays exactly the same character in both those movies. You know, it's just that absent-minded, crotchety kind of thing. So,
well, both of these movies are, you know, you've got the fish out of water. We've got the, you know, the children elements. Just great performances all around. Great secondary characters. Sometimes on Movie Battle, we like to make fantasy trades. You put Wayans in Kindergarten Cop and Schwarzenegger in Major Payne.
Ooh.
Which one's better?
I don't know. That's a tough one because, I mean, I think I think I can speak for Donnie. I couldn't see either one of them playing the other role. Like, it's so iconic. Major Payne is iconic because of the Damon Wayans portrayal, and Kindergarten Cop is iconic because of the Arnold Schwarzenegger portrayal. I don't see them being able to flip-flop. I don't think it would work.
I think Damien might have done a little better job, a little more consistent with both those roles.
Okay, well, that's strong points both are, you know, both ways. You know, there's no correct answer for that, and I think you're both right that I don't, you know, if you could do it, you know, without the lead in each one. I think they are just tailor-made for those roles and just completely own it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next time I'll just trade Damon Wayans for, like, Patrick Mahomes or something.
Yeah. I think the interesting question would be, you know, that little dance that Damon Wayans does, the robot and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Who does that better, Arnold or Damon?
Ooh.
I don't know of a time if I've ever seen Arnold dance.
I'm trying to think if, like, in, I'm trying to think of, like, Jingle All the Way if he dances. He does something weird at the end when he's in, when he's dressed up like the guys.
Turbo Man, yeah.
You Turbo Man, yeah. Nice. Very nice. Nice reference. Yeah, Arnold dancing, cutting a rug. That's gonna bother me.
I will say it's not as clean and crisp as Damon Wayans's dance moves.
That was a pretty sweet robot, I have to say.
Legendary.
Like, he's got some good rhythm there, you know. And yeah, it was a sick dance.
Maybe Alfonso Rivero could have pulled it off. That's about it.
I think if Alfonso's a little more graceful, Damon is a little bit more precise. That's the way I would think about it.
Okay, I like that. That's very good. Very good analysis. I wouldn't expect anything less than, you know, an analytics consultant. All right, well, gentlemen, you know, this is like, you know, people think I'm nuts when I put these battles out there, but it's literally I can't decide. I'm like, which one? I can't decide. I'm Kindergarten Cop. I love it. Major Payne. They seem similar. I'm gonna have to let's ask the internets. Let's get somebody in here to battle. So I don't know. I think the internets might have to decide this one because it's too close for me to call. Y'all are both excellent points on both sides. It's tearing me up inside, actually. So we'll start with Justin. Let's get your final take on the movie.
All right, final take on Kindergarten Cop. I'm probably going to end up repeating myself, but you know, the complete switch portrayal, you know, Arnold branching out into his comedy, you know, section and you know, pulling it off really well. And then you got the kids that are in there and, you know, all their funny little one-liners when he asks, you know, who is your daddy and what does he do, and just all the one-liners in general that, like I said before, I've in fact used myself the other day. You know, I've used a couple of them, so I mean, it's just a timeless classic. I hate to say that, but it is. It just still resonates with people today. And I mean, what else can you say? I don't really know.
All right. Donnie, Major Payne?
Yeah, so I I still think, like, I do hold the standard. If you can think, if you can laugh, if you can cry all in one day, that's a complete day. And so I really love movies that can do all three of those things. And for me, Major Pain is that thing. And I think if you were to ask for sort of popular recognition, more people probably know what Kindergarten Cop actually is, just because it had Arnold and he was the biggest star of the day back then. And so more people probably quote it because of that. But I still think if you sat people down and watched one movie after the other, that you'd find most people would be more in tune with Major Pain and find it to be a more complete work of cinema. And so I'm still going to go with the fact that, you know, head to head, even though there are similarities between the two, that Major Pain still comes out on top for me.
Well said. Well, gentlemen, I can't thank you enough. This has been a wonderful experience. Everything I hoped for and dreamed of.
As well for me, so that's good.
Donnie, can you give me a Damon Wayans laugh? Oh man! All right. Good. On that note, gentlemen, thank you so much, and we will see y'all again.
Absolutely.
Soon.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Movie Battle. If you enjoyed this, please subscribe and review. If you would like to support or leave a voice message, please go to our homepage. You can follow Movie Battle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you for coming correct.